والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بعد today inshallah we'll be reading the 27th hadith in this book Al-Arba'un by Al-Imam Al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. Previously the narrations had been about adhkar, giving remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with tahleel, with tasbih, with tahmeed and all of them. But today inshallah hadith regarding one of the major subjects of the hadith is regarding the matter which is known but usually taken with levity amongst Muslims, particularly the present day Muslims. It is something that is known, people know that that is how it should be, but it is usually taken with levity. So today inshallah we'll read the 27th hadith in the Arba'un of Al-Imam Al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. In it it says, عن النواس ابن سمعان رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال البر حسن الخلق والإثم ما حاك في نفسك وكرهت أن يطلع عليه الناس. رواه مسلم. وعن وابصة بن معبد رضي الله عنه قال أتيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال جئت تسأل عن البر والإثم؟ قلت نعم. قال تفتي قلبك، البر ما اطمأنت إليه النفس واطمأن إليه القلب، والإثم ما حاك في النفس وتردد في الصدر، وإن أفتاك الناس وأفتوك. حديث حسن رويناه في مسندي الإمامين أحمد بن حنبل والدارمي رضي الله عنهما بإسناد حسن عن النواس بن سمعان رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال البر حسن الخلق والإثم ما حاك في نفسك وكرهت أن يطلع عليه الناس. رواه مسلم. This hadith is reported by the companion of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, النواس ابن سمعان أو ابن سمعان. نواس ابن سمعان, his kunya has not been mentioned, and that is not the way of Al-Imam al-Nawawi in this book. From his methodology, from his manhaj in this book, is that every companion that related any hadith, he mentioned his kunya. But in all of these hadith, in the two hadith that he employed here, he has not mentioned the kunya of Nawas ibn Sam'an, neither did he also mention the kunya of Wabisa ibn Ma'bad. And this is the same way, this is what you also find in the books of Taraji. The kunya of Nawas has not been mentioned, and the kunya of Wabisa also has not been mentioned. Perhaps they are not known. Perhaps their kuna is not known. Which we are known, it would have been mentioned in the Mukawalat. At least the Imam al-Zahabi will mention in his Siyar, or Imam al-Hafiz al-Mizzi will mention in his Tahzib al-Kamal. So they have not been mentioned, and Imam al-Nawawi also has not mentioned it. perhaps they are not known. Because these companions, they are not from those that are referred to as al-mukaffiruna bil-riwaya, those who had a lot of narrations. They were not popularly known as reporters. Now, people like Nawaz had about 12, 13, 15 hadiths. The same thing with Wabitha. But their tarjuma is very, very little regarding those from whom they narrated. They narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and from more eminent and famous companions. But their students were not also many because their narrations were not so many. Perhaps because of this reason, some other things about them were not known. Only very few things about them were known. But their names were known. When they died was known. And like Al-Imam, like the companion Nawaz ibn Sam'an, his father is said to also be a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And that was why we employed radiyallahu anhuma for them both. Even when this copy of Al-Arba'ul that I have has radiyallahu anhu, and I'm sure it will be the same for most of us. But what is known is that the father of Nawaz ibn Sam'an is also a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was reported to have come in a delegation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his people, and it was said that he married his daughter, which is the sister, who is the sister of Nawaz, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that when the Prophet came to her, she was to go in with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She sought Allah's refuge from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet divorced her and also sought refuge of Allah from her. These narrations are like that. Because if you look at the book Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya by Imam Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, when he was discussing Azwaj Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned some of these pieces. But besides the 11 wives that we know that the Prophet married based on authentic narrations, all these people, because there are many of them, they are not less than about 10 again that we are mentioned in narrations. Some of them with different names, like Atila, like Kila, like Fatima, like that, to have been married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that they were divorced at one point in time or the other by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like in the case of Atila, it was even said that when the Prophet died alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a man who wanted to marry her, that the man actually married her, and that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq warned the man that, look, the wives of the Prophet, we are not to be married after the Prophet. He says, وَمَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَن تُؤْذُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَن تَنْكِحُوا أَزْوَاجَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ أَبَدًا. So Umar رضي الله عنه gave the suggestion to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq that the man should be killed. In some narrations he was killed. In some narrations his property was confiscated, because that is considered from kufr. So he's belying that verse of the Quran and all of these. But these narrations are not authentic. The Imam al-Zahabi said they are wahiyat. So there are many narrations like that are regarding the kind of women people married after those ones that we know from authentic narrations, and many of them are not authentic. They are contained in Al-Bidayah. He mentioned them one after the other. They are not less than 9. Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Kathir. So if you follow up these narrations, you see that most of them have one form of weakness or the other. So that may not make us rely on the fact that Sam'an, the father of Nawaz, actually married his daughter to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the woman sought refuge from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet also sought refuge from her and divorced her to go. All these things, yes, they would say it, but they require affirmation based on their chains of narration, and the chains of narration that link these reports up between we and those who were witnesses to the event are not reliable. They require real dirasat. Many of them are mentioned clearly not to be reliable. So that's the best of what we'll hear about Sam'an, the father of Nawaz. But it could be said that he was also a companion, because they have also said so, those who came before us. So that is the best of what we can say about Nawaz ibn Sam'an. Also, like we mentioned, he reported a lot of hadith about the fitan of Akhir al-Zaman, the fitan of Masih al-Dajjal, in the case of Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, Nuzul Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. He had reports, not less than 4 reports from Nawas ibn Sam'an. In fact, if I'm not forgotten, in the one he has from Al-Imam ibn Majah radiallahu anhuma, rahimahumullah, Nawas ibn Sam'an was the one who said that whenever the Prophet narrated the Qissa of Masih Dajjal, they were so scared that they thought that if they look back into the Nakhla, they were going to see Masih Dajjal. This statement is from the report of Nawas ibn Sam'an. He has reports like that, but we are not so many. So perhaps in the course of his narrating about Dajjal and the Titan of Zaman, the people were so scared that they could not ask him what his name was. It's possible. It's possible that they could ask him and he says, no, don't ask me. So different things could have been responsible for not knowing much details about this companion. And the same thing with the next companion in the next hadith would be Wabisa ibn Ma'bad. Much is not known about him also. So this hadith was reported by Al-Nawas ibn Sim'an or Sam'an radiallahu anhuma. He said, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam qal, he reported that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam said, Al-birru husnul khulq. Al-birru husnul khulq. He said that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, that al-birru piety or righteousness is what? Husnul khulq. Nice behavior. He said piety is to behave well. It's just like he's saying alayhi salatu wasalam that ad-deen al-nasiha, that the deen is about giving sincere advice. He says again, Al-Hajj Umrah. He says Al-Hajj Arafah. That the Hajj is Arafah. It does not mean that all of Hajj is Arafah. That once you go for Arafah, you have performed Hajj. No. There are other wajibat. There are other things of obligation in the performance of Hajj. But from the most important acts of Hajj is Arafah. Just like from the most important aspects of the deen is what? Giving sincere advice. So from the most important aspects of piety is what? Husnul khulq. From the most important aspect of piety, of righteousness, of closeness to Allah, is what? Husnul khulq. Good behavior, good character. That one's character is nice, is from piety. Perhaps that's why it's so common that whenever any person's character is not nice, people destroy his deen. They cast aspersions at his deen. Whenever somebody's character is not nice, he lies, he betrays trust, he's not good with people, he's harsh with them, he fails promises, he's stingy, he's jealous, he has jealousy in his heart, may Allah save us from that evil, he slanders the people, he backbites them, he talks too much, he gets angry easily, his deen is affected. So when somebody says he's a prophet, he says, that one that lies, just one statement, the whole thing goes, the whole piety finishes, his beard, his throw is on Mr. Sack, his salat, his zakah, his hajj, once it is thrown at him, that one that does not fulfill promise, it will be as if he has not done anything. It will be as if he's the worst person on earth. Because of the importance of personal khulq vis-a-vis al-birr, piety. Because of the importance of character, enviable character. Because of the importance regarding piety. Which would mean there is no true piety without good character. There is no true piety, there is no true righteousness without enviable character. That was why, in a similar statement but in another way, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, innama bu'istu li'utammima salih al-akhlaq. He said, innama bu'istu. It's as if saying, I've not been raised for anything except to perfect salih al-akhlaq, good character. It is not meaning that he had only been raised for character. But what it means is that from the most important aspect of this message, alayhi salatu wasalam, is what? Salih al-akhlaq. Li yutammima salih al-akhlaq. So that he perfects good character. And that is why in all of him, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah told us, he says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. So in all of what the Prophet does, in his statements, in his actions, in his travels, in when he's at home, in all of that you find some character to make benefit from. And that's why when Allah spoke about when the mushrikun will deny the message of Islam, he said, no, it is not you that they deny, but it is the message. They don't say you, Muhammad, you are a liar, but they are saying the message is a lie. So how can somebody who is not a liar bring a message that's a lie? فَأَيَجْرِ عَلَى لِكَمْهِ الْكَذِبِ وَلَمْ يَعْتَمِدْ وَلَمْ يُعَمِّدُ الْكَذِبِ. He will be lying without knowing that he's lying. No, no. He is Al-Amin, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he came with the message. And that was like when Ruh Waisira was telling him, عِيْدٍ يَا مُحَمَّدْ فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تَعْدِ. He said, if I'm not, he said, be just, O Muhammad, because you have not been there. If I'm not there, who will be just now? I have been considered Al-Amin from above the seven heavens. Character. So ulama say in circumstances when the character is truth, when someone wants to put a man at the character, say no. I'm Al-Amin. So he said to alayhi salatu, I'm Al-Amin from above the seven heavens. And he had been even Al-Amin before he was raised with Nubuwa and Risala. So Salihul Akhlaq, he says, Al-Birru Husnul Khulq. Righteousness is what? Good character. At the beginning I said, most times we know that people take it with levity. Character. It's usually taken with levity. How are you character-wise? Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu lived in the house of the Prophet Muhammad for about 10 years. As a young man, and he made a lot of benefits from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. From the advices that the Imam Abdul Razzaq Sanani has reported in his Jami' from Anas ibn Malik with an authentic chain, is that he said that the Prophet said to him one day alayhi salatu wasalam, that alayka bi husni al-khulqi wa tuli sumt. Say Anas, عليك بحسن الخلق. Take to good character. Make sure that your character is good. وطول الصمت. And make sure that you keep quiet beautifully more. You say beautifully because some of the people keep quiet. And in the quietness there is anger, there is avarice, there is jealousy in the silence they have kept. So حسن الصمت is وطول الصمت. Is to keep silent honorably. He says, keep silent honorably. He says, Tawalladhi nafsi biyadi. I swear by the one in whose hands my soul is. He says, Ma tajammala al-khala'iku bimislihima. Ma tajammala al-khala'iku bimislihima. The people never got beautified with something that is like husnul khulq and foolishness. That is the best of what people could get themselves designed with, so to speak. The best of what beautifies a man is his good character and silence. Beautiful silence. Honorable silence. The best of what beautifies a man, personal khulq, and what? Tul sun. Keeping silent more. You know, because of the hasa'id of the al-sina. They are from what makes the people get their face turned on the ground into the fire easily, as he said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu alayhi salatu wasalam. So this issue should be taken seriously by the speaker and the listener. Husnul khulq. There is no piety without it. The piety does not end with memorizing half of the Quran. It does not start and also end with memorizing all of the Quran, knowing tajweed, knowing hadith. But he said alayhi salatu wasalam that al-jirru husnul khulq. The piety is what? Good character. Having good behavior with people. So when you deal with the people, deal with the people well. When you speak to people, give them honor and respect. This does not mean also that, like we said, this is all of birr. Because Allah told us some things also about birr in the Quran. He says, لَيْسَ الْبِرْءُ أَنْ تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ كِبَلَ الْمَشْرِكِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. He says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَالنَّبِيِّ. And all of these that he mentions subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, all of these are also from birr. And he said, وَآتُوا الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَىٰ وَالْيَتَامَىٰ. All these good things he mentioned subhanahu wa ta'ala from birr. So from birr is what husnul khulq, good character. Good character. Perhaps somebody should compile the narrations about character, about faith, about humility, tawadu, about all of this. Begin to read them and determine to actualize them. It's really, really found one thing. A lot of people, most times people complain about the character of people, despite their knowledge, despite their exposure. So the knowledge also would not be said to be beneficial without husnul khulq. In another hadith, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, Inna min ahabbikum ilayya ahsanukum akhlaqan. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that inna min ahabbikum ilayya, from the best of you, most beloved, the dearest of you to me, are what? أحسنهم أو أحسنكم أخلاقا. The best of you in the character. The more the character of the Muslim is good, the more he is dearly to the Prophet Muhammad. So because of good character, very, 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 very important. In another hadith he says, عليه الصلاة والسلام, that أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا. أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلْقًا. The best of the Muslims in their faith, in their iman, are the best of them in their character. Character, 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 character. Some of the people have said that Salafis don't talk about character. Somebody who is a Salafi, he don't talk about character. They are always talking about Aqeedah, Aqeedah, Aqeedah. That's how he said it. Aqeedah, Aqeedah, Aqeedah. The Aqeedah is from Salafiyah. That our Ibadah is pure also is from Salafiyah. And that our Akhlaq is nice is also from what? Our Salafiyah. It's from our following the ways of the Prophet. Because if you look at their lives, you are going to see Akhlaq. And conscious effort to defend their Akhlaq and their presence. Their sum'ah, their personality, their shakhsiyah, conscious effort, never to be known with telling lies. One of the powers to the predecessors, and Imam Muzahabi mentioned in Siyar al-Amnubala, I won't remember his name at the time. He said, he has never had a reason for 20 years to tell somebody, I'm sorry, because of what he said. For 20 years, a man lived with people. He has never had to tell somebody, I'm sorry. For 20 years, he has never had to say, I'm sorry, for 20 years of dealing with people. So that was how they were. Despite that, they were conscious of their worship. They were also conscious of their beliefs. So all of it is from our Salafiyah. Then we say Tafsiyah and Tarbiyah, that Tafsiyah to make purification of the evil things, the dirty things people had carried. And that to make tarbiyah, to nurture the people upon goodness, it involves making the tafsiyah in aqidah and the tarbiyah upon it, making the tafsiyah in ibadah, that is the innovations and acts of worship people indulge in, to purify it, remove the dirty ones and leave them and nurture them upon those that are enviable. And then the same thing applies to their akhlaq. The dirty character people have, they must purge it. People must put characters that are, you know, zanima, that are despicable. They must put it. We all must put it and take to those characters that are enviable, because it is from our piety and it is from our salafiyah. that the Prophet had encouraged us to be upon. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that al-birru husnul khulq, that righteousness is good character. Wal-ismu, and sinfulness, you know, the opposite of birr is what? Ism. The opposite of birr, it's used like that in the Quran. It says, ta'awanu ala al-birri wa taqwa. It says, wa la ta'awanu ala al-ismi wa al-udwa. The opposite of birr is what? Al-ism. So the opposite of righteousness is sinfulness or unrighteousness. So unrighteousness, he says, wal-ismu, unrighteousness is what? Ma haka fi nafsik. What bothers you in your mind? You want to do it, it's bothering you in your mind. وَكَرِهِتَ أَنْ يَطَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ كَرِهِتَ أَنْ يَطَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. You detest that people become aware of it. This statement is circumstantial. It's a circumstantial statement because it does not, it's not talking about every person. It's talking about two circumstances. The first is that the counsel of man is that it's upon righteousness. So the one who is upon righteousness, basically, if he wants to do anything unrighteous, his mind will be disturbing him. This one I want to do is not part of it. And the fact that man is upon righteousness is proven in many ahadith and verses of Quran. It says, فَأَكِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. In another hadith, he says, كل مولود يولد على الفطرة. So the fitra is that we are upon righteousness. He says, إني خلقت عبادي حنفاء فجاءتهم الشياطين فاجتالتهم أنتي. I created my people as حنفاء, people who give sincere worship to me alone in Tawheed. فاجتالتهم الشياطين, but the devils came upon to them. فجاءتهم الشياطين, the devil came unto them, فجاءتهم عن الدين, they threw them away from the righteousness I created them upon. So the counsel of mankind is righteousness. It says, فألهمها فجورها وتقوى, it's nafs. It says, والنفس وما سواها. فألهمها, Allah taught that nafs. Allah made it to understand fujur and taqwa. So the action of man is like that. So a man that is still remaining upon this action, this hadith is talking to him. That well, it's more ma hakafi nafsik. It will be causing problem in the hearts of this kind of a man that is salimul fitra wal aqd. He is upon the sound fitra and intellect. Kufar, Christianity, Judaism, and all evils that come onto the fitra and takes the people out of their fitra had not infected this man, or had infected him, but the most of him is still upon haqq. The most of him is still upon the asul that upon which Allah created man. Or he was upon that he repented and came into Islam fully, devoting himself into all of Islam, like many of the companions were at the time of the Prophet Muhammad. Like that, they are not Muslims. They are not, they are whatever they were, but they came into Islam and became devoted into Islam. So if they were, would do anything that was going to be contradictory to the Sharia, the heart will not find it comforting. Even when those things they could even find uncomfortable, what does not have clear evidences from the Sharia but may not be prohibited? Like when Umar radiallahu anhu suggested the violation of the Quran to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. It was not going to be accepted immediately. And when he was also suggested to Zayd ibn Thabit, radiallahu anhu, it was not also going to be accepted directly because they could not find a clear text that says, compile the Quran after I die. So even in things that are ordinarily permissible, but they can't find the text, they had to feel somehow. Because they had devoted their hearts to ittiba, following. Just hear a hadith, hear verses of Quran and follow, rather than just trying to do your own. So when they hear anything, they want to see, where is the text? Where is the hadith? Where is the verse of the Quran?
So even when those things could be permissible, so they left many things they did not do.
So talk less of something that is clearly mentioned to be prohibited. They would never have done it. They would never. And that was why when any one of them did anything that was not right clearly by the text of the Quran or Hadith, the other quickly corrected him. The Hadith that comes to mind now is that of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman and Abu Qatada. The two of them wanted to pray one of the masajids in Iraq. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, radiallahu anhuma, was praying the salah. He was praying upon a platform. This Hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawud. It's later authentic by Sheikh al-Bani. He went on the platform to start the salah. And Abu Qatada grabbed his dress and drew him backwards. So he came backwards to radiallahu anhu. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman came backwards to follow Abu Qatada. After the salah, he said, "Why are you praying upon a platform when the people are below you on the ground?" That is, you know, in many masajid there is a raised platform. The imam climbs. It is wrong to play and to perform the salah on the platform for the imam when the people behind him are below him on the ground. So he was asking, why did you do that? Did you not know that the Prophet had, have you forgotten that the Prophet had prohibited us, alayhi salatu wasalam, from leading a salah upon a platform? You know what Hudhayfa said, radiallahu anhu? He said, "Do you not also see that as you dream you, I came back? As you dream me, I came back." So it was clear to them. So this was how they were. Ta'awanu ala al-birri wa taqwa. Wa la ta'awanu ala al-ithmi wa al-udwan. So to have done so is upon ithm and udwan. But he did not leave him. He said, "Ta'awanu ala al-birri," dragging him back. Hey, yes, it's true. So he went back to, as he was dragged by his brother from amongst the companions, radiallahu anhu. So if people are like this, that even when they make a mistake and fall into something that is prohibited by the text of Quran and Hadith, they quickly change. Could they have done something that they had to be doubting this right like this? They would not. So these are the people that it refers to. That well, this moment, heart of synaptic, what comes in your mind and you detect in your heart, you find it hard to do. وَكَرِهِتَ أَنْ يَطَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِنَا. And you do not, you hate that people find you upon that thing. So if this hadith is not talking about people like this, you know, what would have been the case is that today people are not even ashamed of things that Allah detests. They will do it in the open. So is it that one that you say that al-ismu ma haka fi nafsik? La. Because who are la ya'ti fi nafsihi shay? He does not feel any negative about things. In fact, what he feels is normal and praiseworthy. He finds things praiseworthy. He praise things and do it publicly and openly and say, what is there? So these are not the kind of people that this hadith refers to. This hadith refers to the people who are still upon the path of righteousness. Now when they want to do something that is unrighteous, their hearts find discomfort in it. Not only that, they hate that people find their knee after salat, after leaving Medina. Somebody say, oh, after leaving Medina, somebody sees me shaking a lady. Aha, you know that shaking a lady is bad. Even when if you ask him what is the text, he may not know what is the idea, he may not know, but he will just ask, how can somebody keep in a deep shake a lady? So this is the kind of thing that the situation refers to. It does not refer to the opposite set of people who will do those things, you know, feeling joy with it. And even announcing it to the people from the Mujahirun. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that kullu ummati mu'afa illa al-mujahirin or illa al-mujahirun. Alayhi salatu wasalam. That is how the riwayah is. So there is riwayah of mujahirun. There is riwayah of mujahirin. When you say mujahirin, yes, is it mansub with isnadi? When you say mujahirun, it's something else. But they have the same meaning, and there is the riwayah of mujahirun. So he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, kullu ummati mu'afa. Let's take that one. He says, all of my ummah is pardoned their sins. They'll be pardoned. When people sin, Allah will be pardoning them. So find out what? Out of his rahmah and fadl, forgive. Wa ya'fu an kathir, will be overlooked. So he says, mu'afa, they are forgiving their sins. Illa al-mujahirin, except those who announce their sins. Those people, they announce their sins. And the Prophet explains, alayhi salatu wa salam, that وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْمُجَاهَرَةِ, from a man's announcement of his sin is that أَنْ يَعْمَلَ الرَّجُلُ بِاللَّيْلِ عَمَلًا, in the night someone does something that is sinful. ثُمَّ يُصْبِحَ وَقَدْ سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, he wakes up the next morning and nobody knew what he did. سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَمَلِهِ, Allah covered him. He did something evil in the night yesterday. He woke up this morning, nobody knew that he did it. Whether mistakenly or deliberately, Allah has covered his sins. The son of Allah said, يَقُولُ يَا فُلَانِ أَمِلْتُ الْبَارِحَةَ كَذَا وَكَذَا, hey, John, yesterday, I did so, he did so, what he did that Allah covered him now in the secret, he came to the open to announce it. He said, alayhi salatu wassalam, that this kind of a man, he says, Ba'atha, Qatarahu wa Rabbuhu, he slept while his Lord had concealed him. He wa yusbihu yakshifu sitra Allahi anhu. But he wakes up and yakshifu sitra Allah. He is removing Allah's cover upon himself. This is a mujahir. Yujahiru bil ism. He's announcing his sin. These set of people, they are those who are exempted from what? Al-Afu of Allah. So they are not the people that this hadith, the hadith of Nawas ibn Sam'an, is referring to. They are not the ones. The hadith is referring to people who have their senses with them, who have their deen with them, but, you know, they fell prey to one deception of Iblis or the other, or one suggestion of Hawa or the other, or they want to fall in their mind and say, no, it should not be like that. They are shy that people come and then mix them up on this. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that well, ismu ma haqqina sikh. Sin is what comes to your heart. It's heavy upon you. You are going forth and backward about it. And you detest that people come and find you upon that. Then that is a sin. This hadith is reported by Imam Muslim. So he said, alayhi rahmatullah, Imam Nawawi, he said, rawahu مسلم. It's not been reported by Imam al-Bukhari. هذا الحديث من من فرد به الإمام مسلم. It's from those ahadith that Imam Muslim alone reported. So he brought another hadith that has a similar meaning to it. And that hadith is the hadith of وابصة بن معبد. It says, وَعَنْ وَعْبِصَةَ بْنِ مَعْبَدٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالْ أَتَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالْ جِئْتَ تَسْأَلُ عَنِ الْبِرِّ وَالْإِثْمِ قُلْتُ نَعْمْ قَالَتْ تَفْتِي قَلْبَكَ الْبِرُّ مَتْمَعَنَّتْ إِلَيْهِ النَّفْسِ وَاتْمَعَنَّ إِلَيْهِ الْقَلْبُ وَالْإِثْمِ مَا حَاكَ فِي النَّفْسِ وتردد في الصدر وإن أفتاك الناس وأفتوك. In the second hadith reported by Wabis ibn Ma'bad, he said, this hadith, the Imam al-Nawawi told us that it's been reported by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Al-Imam al-Darimi. It's also reported by others like Al-Imam Abu Ya'la al-Musili in his Musnad, Imam al-Tabarani and others from the scholars of hadith reported this hadith. But in the riwayah of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, there is a qissa there that brings some of the benefits in the hadith closer to our attention and makes us understand the hadith better, inshallah. So Wabita radiallahu anhu said, Ataytu Rasulallahi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, I came to meet the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. محل الشاهد. He said وأنا أريد ألا أدع شيئا من البر والإثم إلا سألته عنه. Aha. My intention is that لا أدع شيئا من البر والإثم إلا سألته. I don't want to leave anything that is sin or that is from righteousness except that I ask him. I want to know what is a sin. I want to know what is not a sin, what is from righteousness. So you see the kind of people the Prophet is saying that alayhi salatu wa salam that wal ismu ma haka fi nafsik. The people who don't want to fall to sin at all, who want to know what is a sin and keep away from the sin. So he said, wa bi Prophet radiallahu anhu. When I came to the Prophet, the reason why I came to is I want to know what is sin, those things that are sin, I want to know. Those things that are not sin, I want to know, that are from righteousness, I want to know them so that I can do them. He says, wa izan indahu jam'un. So when I came and there were some people around the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, fadhahabtu atakhatta an-nas. So I started to move in between the people. So the people started to say to him, why? Don't move, don't stop, why are you crossing us? You know, the people, everyone likes to be close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, فَقُلْتُ أَنَا وَابِصَ. He said to him, I'm وَابِصَ. You know, people say, don't go, why are you climbing? Why are you crossing between us? He said to them, رضي الله عنه, أَنَا وَابِصَ. دَعُونِ أَدْنُ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَحَبِّ النَّاسِ إِلَيَّ أَنْ أَدْنُوَ مِنْهُ. Don't leave me, let me go close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, فَإِنَّهُ, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مِنْ أَحَبِّ النَّاسِ إِلَيَّ. He is from the most beloved of people to me, أَنْ أَدْنُوَ مِنْهُ, from close to whom I like to be. The one to whom I like to be close to all, mostly in my heart, is the Prophet Muhammad. So leave me alone. It shows that this companion loved the Prophet Muhammad. If he did not love him, there would be a revelation that would say that it's a lie. He's just saying that. Because he did that at the time revelation was still coming from the heavens. The munafiqun went to him and said, قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَ. He said, you're a liar. You're a liar. Even when they say ashadu, Allah is saying you're a liar. So if this companion was saying that فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَحَبِّ النَّاسِ and Adnuwa Minhu is most beloved of the people to me that I should come close to. If he was not saying the truth, if he was not really beloved to the Prophet Muhammad, revelation would have come say, you are a liar. So, why be so loved the Prophet Muhammad? So, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Wabisa, he says, فَقَالَ لِي أُدْنُ يَا Wabisa. The Prophet said, come close Wabisa. So this is evidence, like that evidence is also picked from the hadith of Jibreel. That if somebody is sitting at the end of a halqa, there's a need for him to come to the front, he can come to the front. But he'll be seeking the permission to come to the front. We mentioned that when Jibreel came alayhi salatu wasalam, because what he said that حَتَّى جَلَسَ إِلَّا نَلِيهِ سَلَّهُ. In the riwayah of Ibn Umar, from his father Umar, in Sahih Bukhari, in Sahih Muslim. In the riwayah of Abu Huraira and Abu Dharr in Kutub Sunan al-Arba, what he was saying, Ya Muhammad, Salamu alayka Ya Muhammad. When he came, alayhi salam. When he came, he said taslim to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Walayka salam. The Prophet responded to him. He says, Ya Muhammad, Adnu, O Muhammad, should I come close? He said, the Prophet said, Udnu. He said, he was saying that, Hatta jalasa inda Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was seeking permission. Let me conclude. Until he sat in front of the Prophet. He said, فَأَفْنَدَ رُكْبَتَهِ إِلَّا رُكْبَتَهِ. The same thing was what Wabisa did. The Prophet was giving him the permission, alayhi salatu wasalam, to come close. And he was coming close. He said, أُدْنُوا يَا Wabisa. Come close, O Wabisa. So he was coming close, alayhi salatu. He said, فَدَنَوْتُ مِنْهُ. So I came close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, حَتَّى مَسَّتْ رُكْبَتَيَّ رُكْبَتَيْهِ. Until my knees touched his knees. I was coming close, until my knees touched the knees of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, فَقَالَ يَا وَابِصَ. The Prophet said, "Oh, Wadi Sa, Ukhbiruka ma jikta tas'aluni anhu aw tas'aluni. Ukhbiruka, yani, ma jikta tas'aluni anhu aw tas'aluni. Should I tell you want to, what you want to ask me or you should ask me? Should I tell you what you want to ask or you should, I should leave you to ask your question?" So this was a circumstance in which Wadi Sa came to the Prophet, because in this riwayah, what he said was just that Ataytu Rasulallahi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, I came to meet the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the second riwayah that we read from Imam Ahmad was telling us the details of how he came to what, how did he do, what did he do until he came in front of the Prophet and he started to ask what he wanted to ask, or he started to hear what he wanted to hear from the Prophet Muhammad. So in this, back to our hadith, back to our reading, it said, Ataytu Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فقال, then the Prophet said, جِئْتَ تَسْأَلُ عَلِ الْبِرِّ وَالْإِسْمِ. You have come to ask about birr, righteousness, and ism, sinfulness, sin. Is that not what you came to ask about? You know, in the first narration, he said, should I tell you what you have come to ask about, or I should leave you to ask? So in that report he says, Akhbirni ya Rasulallah, tell me what I have come to ask you, the Messenger of Allah. And Imam al-Haytami, Abu Bakr al-Haytami alayhi rahmatullah al-Maliki, he said this is from the mu'jizat of Rasul alayhi salam. The man came to ask him a question, he said, should I tell you the question you want to ask me? So some of the scholars have mentioned this to be from the mu'jiza of the Prophet Muhammad. Allahu alayhi. He said, O Prophet, tell me, O Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet said, جِئْتَ تَسْأَلُ عَنِ الْبِرِّ وَالْإِسْمِ. You have come to ask about righteousness and what? Sinfulness. So that is the question we have seen here, that جِئْتَ تَسْأَلُ عَنِ الْبِرِّ وَالْإِسْمِ. Is it not that you have come to ask about birr and ism? Is it not that you have come to ask about righteousness and sinfulness? Cool to now. Say, yes, I have, that is what I want to ask about. So he affirmed what was in his mind that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa sallam. This does not mean that the Prophet is alimul ghaib. It does not mean so. What it meant is that this is from wahyu to him. That was what Allah told us about the Prophet and the Rusul. He says, Alimul Ghaib, he is Alimul Ghaib. فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَانَ رَسُولِهِ. So nobody knows Ghaib except Allah. فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. He does not make anyone to know his Ghaib. إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَانَ رَسُولِهِ. Except those from by whom he wants from amongst his prophets. So this Ghaib, Allah wants to let the Prophet know it so he knew it. So, and that's why he will always say to us, إِنْ أَتَّدِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُحَى إِلَيَّ. What I follow is what is told to me. If it is not told to me, I will not know. And that's perhaps the reason why some things will be asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will say, I don't know. You will ask him alayhi salatu wa sallam, أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. He said, مَلْ مَسْئُولٌ أَنَّهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّاعَةِ. The one who is being asked, مَلْ مَسْئُولُ عَنْهَا. The one who is being asked does not know more than the one who is asking. So I don't know too. Because it's not been given the wahyu of Sa'a. He says, أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا. Allah said, لِتُجْزَى كُلِّ نَفْسٍ مَا تَسْعَى. So I almost do not know it. I keep it away from everything. Nobody knows Ghaib. Nobody knows Sa'a. Nobody knows Sa'a. They said, you know, because he does not have the wahyu to know when the will be established. So, and when he knew, he said he knew. Should I tell you? He said, yes. He told him, he said, yes, that is what I have come to ask you about. In this report, again, of Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he said, فَجَمَعَ أَنَامِلَهُ. The Prophet put his fingers together, alayhi salatu wasalam. فَجَعَلَ يَنْكُتُ بِهِنَّ عَلَىٰ صَدْرِهِ. The Prophet started beating my chest like this. Wabi. The Prophet was, I think, when he came from that, yes, he came to tell me, I want to ask you about Dira and listen. The Prophet put his hand and was asking him, was touching the chest of Wabi. Like Jibreel, وَضَعَ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَىٰ فَخِذَيْهِ. It's one of the ways to bring the attention of the person you are talking to towards your king. Sometimes the Prophet will grab the hands of the companion, like he did to Abu Huraira. Sometimes he would touch the chest. He also did that to Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He did that. Things like this. He would grab their hands, he would touch them, he would lay his salat was on. So the Prophet was doing that. He now said, Ya wa bison. So you see, the kind of person the Prophet is giving this address to, he's a person that wants to know what evil is, to run away from evil. And he wants to know what goodness is, to keep upon, to act upon goodness. They say, Ya wa bison. Say, Oh wa bison. Istafti albak. Check your soul. Check your mind. So that's from where our own reading here continues. Go. It says now. It says to now to istafti qalbak. Before saying istafti qalbak, he was touching his chest. Ya wa bison. Istafti qalbak. Search your mind, wa bison. He says, Al-Burru matma'annat ilayhi nafs. This alif wal lam of nafs, who said the nafs of Wabiso and everyone that is like him. He says, Al-Burru matma'annat ilayhi nafs. Righteousness is what your mind is settled with, what your heart is comfortable with. That is righteousness. So would not tell a zani, a person who does zina, that's al-birru matma'annat ilayhi nafsuhu. La. That righteousness is what his mind likes. No. Because what his mind is a sick mind. And you don't give assessments to a thing by means of making standards, by using sick people. I usually give this example. If you ask people now everywhere, inshallah, say, honey, is honey sweet or bitter? Honey. Is it sweet or bitter? But a sick person could take honey now, they ask him, is it honey? You say, no, it is bitter. Some of them say, no, they have discovered that honey is bitter. No, because the tongue that has tasted that honey and said that the honey is bitter, it's a sick tongue. So the mind that will find zina as matma'annat ilayhi nafs is what? It's a sick mind. So veil the face, niqab. So veil the face. Allah said about it that ذَلِكَ أَطْهَارُ لِكُلُوبِكُمْ وَكُلُوبِهِنَّ. That أَطْهَارُ لِكُلُوبِكُمْ, you companions of Allah's messenger, and those who want to be like them. This is the evidence. This is from where Imam Muhammad al-Amin al-Shinkiti, he said there are some verses of the Quran people will explain that it means some things, but that same verse contains some things that will make us understand that what they have said that verse means does not mean it. It means opposite of what they are saying. And that verse will contain something that make us understand that it does not mean what they are saying that it means. He said these verse, people usually say that khasun bi azwajin Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wa sahaba, that the verse is restrictive, is exclusive for the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the companions. He said that, but in this verse, he mentioned it in his book, Anwa'ul Bayan, the Muqaddima of Adwa'ul Bayan, Fi Idash al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an. He said that in this verse, Allah said, ذَلِكَ أَطْهَرُ لِكُلُوبِكُمْ وَكُلُوبِهِمْ. That you speak to them from behind the veil. He said, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحِجَابِ. He now said, ذَلِكَ, you're speaking to them from behind the veil. أَطْهَارُ لِكُلُوبِ, he said, meant طَهَارَةُ الْقَلْبِ. He said, and every Muslim male and female need طَهَارَةُ الْقَلْبِ. He said, so this verse is talking to all Muslims, male and female, because all of them have a need for what? طَهَارَةُ الْقَلْبِ. He said, this statement makes us understand that to say that verse is restricted to the wife of the messenger alone is not correct. So here Allah says that a man speaks to the woman from behind him. He also said it, alayhi rahmatullah, al-Imam al-Shinkiti. He said, when a woman, if you say, sorry, I'll be saying some things now. If you say it is not obligatory for the man, for the woman to veil her face, and she's outside, where is the al-mukalama min wara al-hijab? Where is wara al-hijab here? Because you are saying the person, he identified the person. And that's why hijab will cover the shaksiyah of the person completely or will cover all of the body of the person. If she's standing behind the wall and she's not veiling anything, the hijab, the wall is her hijab. But if she's standing outside the wall, what is the hijab? That which, when you talk to her, it will endanger what? Taharatul qalb, for her and for you. Where is it? He says, so this makes us also understand that it is obligatory for her to veil her face if she's not behind the wall or another picture, what will cover her person completely. So, what the Quran tells us is that veiling the face brings about piety. But a sick man will say that veiling the face will bring about crime. The one who will say this one is a sick mind. Like that Isa Tikuma in ADU, who wrote a book that al-niqabu sunnatun nifaliyatun or bid'atun mamkuta. That is niqab between, is it a sunnah nifaliya, a sunnah that could be followed, or an innovation that should that is detected. He's a sick mind, and he's saying in it that people use niqab to commit evil, the people wear niqab are fornicators and adulterers, and so many unprintable things. He says, so people should not wear niqab again. It is an innovation. And even when in that narration he was saying that some of the wives of the Messenger alayhi salatu salam veiled their faces, he still saying that it's an innovation. It means that he either does not understand what the meaning of an innovation is, or he understands it and deliberately twists the heart to support what he feels, and by that showing the world that he's a sick man. Like the one who will say that honey is bitter now and start writing with cracked paper. That honey is bitter. The whole world will know that we are sick. And they ask him, what is the proof? What laboratory test? I tasted it. And on my tongue it was bitter. I said, no, your tongue is a sick tongue. So the same thing we will say to Tikuma. You are a sick man. The man is sick in his mind. He's really sick. So he says that in the countries where, in places where people wear niqabs, people commit evil there. In America, take one state in America and take their crime report and compare it to all the countries of the Muslim world. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How many states are there in America? 50. Have they increased? They still have 50 states. Take one of the 50 states. See, I choose one for you. I choose Texas. Choose Texas, take their crime report, and take the whole of the Arabian Peninsula, the whole. Add the Indo-Pakistani subcontinent to it. In fact, add the whole of North Africa to it. And look at the crime report. You see, if it does not equal with Texas alone, leaving the 49 other states, Texas will supersede all of these continents of the world we are mentioning. So, crime is in Texas because people are wearing niqab. So his case is just similar to the one who is sick in his mind, who said that honey is bitter. This kind of a hadith that al-birru matma'annat ilayhi nafs, it is not the nafs of a sick man, no. It is the nafs of unsick people, people who are healthy, like that of Wadisa, the kind of nafs that the Prophet was beaten, alayhi salatu wa salam. Ya Wadisa, istafti nafsak. That is the kind of heart, that is the kind of love that if you say اتمئن إلي شيء إلى شيء, you say okay, that شيء is from there. That thing that the heart is inclined towards or is comfortable with, is tranquil with, that thing is from piety. So it says عليه الصلاة والسلام that the soul is inclined to that which is righteous. وَاتْمَعَنَّ إِلَيْهِ الْقَلْبِ, the mind is also inclined to it. And he had told us that if the qalb is sick, all of the body is also sick. So when these things are inclined towards something, they are comfortable with something, know that that thing is from dir. You that you say you should know that that thing is from dir. It is not the sick mind that is being told this, but the mind that is free from those sicknesses of sins. It says, وَالْإِثْمُ مَا حَاكَ فِي النَّفْسِ, also the same soul. Sin is what that soul will consider degrading. It's degrading. One day, brother was asking, his wife wanted to make an international passport. So she was being compelled to have to, you know, unveil her face at the passport office where they are going to snap her. She requested for males. They said, no, there are no males. So the brother was feeling uncomfortable. How can my wife go and sit in front of somebody like this? And it's a man, they say, shake your head, turn your head, move your head, up, raise your arm. In his heart, he didn't like it. So he'd rather not make it for them. It's usually difficult. In some cases, we have to travel to places to go and do it where women will do it. And with letters. So this kind of mind is feeling uncomfortable. My wife goes to the front of that man, the man is talking, move up, down, shake your head. So this kind of a mind will consider these things abhorring. And things like that, even when they may not be things of sin particularly, they may be things that are ordinarily permissible, even, or things that are doubtful, the mind will not be comfortable with it. So when it is like this, when this same healthy mind considers something in this light, then that mind should know that he should not do that thing. And that is also in line with the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He says, alayhi salatu wa sallam, ma yaribuka ila ma la yaribuka. Leave that which makes you doubt. The doubt it does not make you doubt. It's also in the hadith of Shubhat. It says, wa man waqa fi shubhat, waqa fi haram. The one who falls into things that are doubtful and ambiguous, he soon falls into things. Very soon, the next thing we have in are those that are actually known to be sinful. So he says, alayhi salatu wa salam, that, well, ismu ma haka fi nafs. So the sin is what the heart detests. What raddada fi sadr, the mind, the heart is going forth and backwards about, Why do this? The mind is going forth and back. Is it right, sir? Is this kind of thing right? You know, these days, people write exams, JAMB, for example. They wrote JAMB yesterday, Some people in their centers, people come and start writing answers on the board. They happen. They are known things. So it's not as if somebody is saying it newly. People will know it. It is known. And this is what people do. And it is wrong that people do it. So somebody there will find it uncomfortable to even look up on the board. Even when he knows what he's going to do. So he say, Ustaz, this thing, I can't look it. Well, it's no more hakafi nafs. What taraddada fi sadr. The mind is, no, this thing. Even when, if you ask him what is the hadith that shows that it's wrong, he may not know. But his consciousness is telling him that, no, this thing can't be right. It can't be right. There are many incidences like that. The university said, Ustaz, see the Jamin. You say, no, Ustaz doesn't take Jamin questions. So these things, even when you may not be able to quickly find, you know, the text to say this is the evidence, your mind will be telling you that it is wrong. So when the case is like that, know that it is a sin. He now said, we are in Aftakan now. If one somebody corner is Mufidiyar anywhere, you say, you see, to write that question, they are right, that answer, they are right, be looking at it. You know, he's giving a fatwa. But the mind will still not accept it. The mind will say, how can it be right? Jam give us question paper. And you are writing the answer on the board. Can it be right? We're in Aftaka now. Even if people are giving you fatwa. Somebody here in Kaduna is saying that once a woman is giving the mahar for her nikah, the man can have conjugal relations with the woman. That the most important thing is the mahar. So he's being asked, what about singatul aqd? Because in Islam, we have seen people have married with singatul aqd without mahar. They only talk about mahar after the marriage. Like the companion, this is reported by Imam Abu Dawud in his Sunan, and Imam Shawkani extensively discussed it in his book Nail al-Awtar when he was talking about muhur. His companion married a woman and they did not agree on what the mahar would be. Then the companion died. The day he was dying, he told them, say, look, if I die, I have a portion that I will collect from the war booty. If I can collect it, collect my share, before you start sharing anything, give my, remove from me to give my wife her mahar. And there is a hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud on that. That the mahar of a woman is that her husband dies before paying the mahar is the mahar of her kind in the community. And one of the companions said he heard that from the Prophet. Ibn Mas'ud gave it as a fatwa. And that's where that statement comes in. In kana sawaban aminallahi wa in kana khata'an faminni wa min ash-shaytan. This statement was when Ibn Mas'ud gave that fatwa. That a woman, that if it is from me, if it is right, it is from Allah. But if it is wrong, it is from me and from Shaitan. It is not from Allah's religion. When he said that, a companion who had heard that same thing from the Prophet, this is why it's also from this hadith. Look at Ibn Mas'ud talking. And that statement, he didn't know it from the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. But his mind is telling him that that is the right thing. But to be careful, he made that statement that in case I'm wrong, and it is conforming with what somebody had heard from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh, I have heard it from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are the kind of people that they can say something is wrong. If you don't find a clear text that says that that thing is right, don't do it too. Because he said, radiyallahu anhu Abu Abdurrahman, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, ma ra'ahu al-muslimuna hasanan فَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ حَسَنٌ. What the Muslims, the Muslim ulama say, al-Muslimun huna al-Sahaba. What the companions consider as good is good in the sight of Allah. If companions say this thing is good, you don't find verse of Quran, you don't find hadith, it is good. The same thing if they say that this thing is bad, it is bad. Even if you don't find a hadith or a verse of Quran to support that it is bad. But the companions come and say this thing is bad, each of them saying this thing is bad. It is also bad in the sight of Allah. So the nikah could be conducted, a marriage could be valid with a sigatul abd without the mahar, it won't be mentioned at all. As in these narrations that we have mentioned. But that person is saying in his own fatwa, in his kadna, he's saying that that is on the radio that a woman could be had, you know, a man could have access conjugally to a woman just after collecting the mahar. Anyone who hears this, his mind, any sane, healthy mind, the mind will be saying, without the father telling me that he has married the girl to me, the mind will not find it acceptable. Why in after canna? Even if people are bringing for power, it is like you can do it. No, the mind will be finding it. If the father had not told me that she's my wife, just because I sent her, then she's my wife. No. Wa in after canna. Even when the people are giving you fatawa, wa aftau, and they give you more and more fatawa is coming, you, the mind will not find it comfortable. So that's why he says that wal ismu ma haka fi nafs, sin is what the heart, the mind does not, the soul detests. Wa taraddada fi sadr, the mind, the heart is hesitating about it. Or in after canna, even when people are giving you fatawa, or afok and giving you fatawa, repeating the fatawa, your mind will not be accepting. That's why ulama say this is evidence that it is possible that if something is not clear to you, you find that is this thing a sin or not? You ask one mala, he says it is a sin. You can ask another one. He says it's not a sin. You are thinking that it's a sin. Ask another one. Because he says, or in after canna, or afok. People will be giving you the fatwa. Your mind will still be saying that, no, this thing is a sin. No? Like those people who are working in the banks. They are committing so many sins. Number one, they first of all shave their beard, healthy shave. Oh, those people, let's use this one now. Those people who say, labul ilm should shave their beard and go and join soldier. Go and join army. So that they can help Islam, correct. Shaykh al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, it's not my own statement. the Imam al-Albani alayhi rahmat, he was asked this question, that can we go and shave our beard because we want to join army to help Islam? He said, rahmahullah, that anyone who says he's doing that to help Islam is a liar. How can you say you want to help Islam and the first thing you will do is against Islam? You want to help Islam. The first step, yeah, like this, you took, is anti-Islam. Is that not simple that throughout, as you are going, all the steps will be anti-Islam? The first step, that is anti-Islam. That the rule. If it's that the rule, you'll be all forever. Don't ask me that, should we now leave soldier for kufa? Don't ask me that question. Unfortunately, Sheikh Al-Albani has died. I would have told you to just write the letter, tell it to me. What you have said is what I have told you. The fact still remains, one, that whether you say this or not, there are Muslims who are not, who don't care about all these things. There you go. So let those ones be the scapegoat among the Muslims who will do all those kind of things. Not the ones that Allah has given the basira of Islam. They have recognized their deen and their sunnah. You now tell them to destroy that thing. But there are some who will still go. If you like, say it to next tomorrow, they will still go. As evil as riba is, zina is worse. Zina is bad. Riba is worse. I didn't want to say zina is better. There is no goodness in zina. Riba is worse than zina. But people say, zina, they don't want zina, but they are chopping riba money. They are in front of riba. If you say, a man was being congratulated, I mentioned this before, when Sani Silamide became central bank governor, people were sending congratulatory messages. One brother said, you people, are you sure you are in your senses? You are sending congratulatory messages. If he's made the chairman of Nigerian Breweries Limited, will you send congratulatory messages? They say no. He said, oh, the place he is now is worse than Nigerian Breweries. So when organization invites him, they're happy. We have a lecture. Who is in Asanusi language? I'm a he's a Muslim. He's a Muslim inside evil. One Muslim go and open prostitute store for prostitution. He write it there, prostitute. He's the chairman. He's getting money there. They want to launch a mosque. Is he the one you go and call? Even when the central bank government is worse than that person who opens a brothel for prostitution, it's worse than him in the sight of Allah. It's worse than the one who opens a brothel in the sight of Allah. And if he dies like that, unless Allah forgives him. Unless Allah forgives him because his maghfirah is still there. Yaghfiru liman yasha. But if he does not forgive, it's also from his mashi'a kuma. Nizami. Hasra khusran. Hasra dunya al-akhirah. Hasra dunya al-akhirah. Because all those money, you won't carry to anywhere. Ultimately, he's a Muslim. The only thing he carries is his kafan. And that kafan, once the termites put it in the grave, because anyone who dies and is to be punished for things like that, the termites that will attack him, the kafan may not spend 3 days. Yes, because the whole matter will start from the grave. He is worse than the brutal chairman. So this kind of a man now starts thinking that his mind is comfortable with doing that kind of thing. People come and say, Ustaz, you should come and there's one bank. He said, I know. He went and bring one Ahmad Gumi, doctor, inshallah, big beard for bank. He said, inshallah, to work in bank is halal. What will you say? Why aftak and naf? Waftok. Even if Gumi give 1 million fatwa that to work in bank and eat riba is halal, we say no, you are wrong. It is still isum. We're in aftak and naf. We're aftok. Even if you give us fatwa, you give us fatwa 1 million times, we will not accept it. That's why Allah is warning those who people take fatwa from. It says لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث واتقوا الله يا أولو الألباب لعلكم تفلحون. Says لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب. The thing that is evil, nonsense things, evil things, despicable things, you can't compare with things that is pure. Al-Khabith, just two things. Wa-Tayyib, things that are nice and good, you can't compare them. Wa-Law A'jabaka Kafratul Khabith. Even when the abundance of these two things stares you in the face, everywhere. Is it, are we, you know, are we going to leave it for them? Wa-Law A'jabaka Kafratul Khabith. Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Fear Allah, you honest people who will be giving fatawah, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you can succeed. Because it's those honest people who will be giving fatawah that is right. It's right. Do it, go it. It's right. There is no problem. So people say, oh, I've had a fatawah. Fatawah of evil and balal. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, in this hadith, he beat the chest of Wabisa and said, Ya Wabisa, istaqi qalbak. Check your soul. He says, Al-birru matma'annat ilayhi al-nafs. Matma'anna ilayhi al-qalb. That is what the soul and the heart is inclined towards and is comfortable with. Wal-ithmu ma'haka fi nafs. And sin is what the heart, the mind detests. وَتَرَدَّدَ فِي الصَّدْرِ. And the heart is hesitating about it. وَإِنْ أَفْتَاكَ النَّاسِ. Even when people are giving you fatwa, وَأَفْتَوْكَ. Multiplying the fatwa, your mind will be telling you that this thing is bad. This hadith, this second hadith of Wabisa, is hadithun hasanun by the grain of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. This hadith is Hassan. He said, Rahimahullah, Uruwinahu min musnadayil imamain. We have reported it from the two musnad of the two imams, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal Abu Abdullah Shaybani alayhi rahmatullah, Imam Mubajjal, one of the greatest scholars ever in history of Islam, Imam Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He is the one who has that laqab of Imam Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal Abu Abdullah alayhi rahmatullah, sahib al-musnad. We will not talk about Ahmad bin Hanbal. And then it is also reported from the musnad of Al-Imam al-Darimi. Al-Imam al-Darimi, Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Bahram al-Darimi alayhi rahmatullah. From the greatest scholars of Islam too. Because from his students are people like Imam al-Muslim and Imam al-Tirmidhi, Imam Abu Dawud, they are from the students of Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman al-Darimi. Imam al-Darimi was a very learned person. One of the teachers of Imam Bukhari, Muhammad ibn Bashar, Bunda, he says, Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman al-Darimi imamuna. He says, Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman al-Darimi imamuna. Imam Bukhari's teacher, Muhammad ibn Bashar, Bundah, is saying that Ad-Darimi imamuna. So who is Darimi? Imam, the Hakim. And that was why the ulama of hadith, they say that Imam al-Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah never sang a shi'r. He never composed shi'r. Except a shi'r that's inside a hadith. The ulama al-Imam al-Zahabi alayhi rahmatullah, he said Imam al-Bukhari never composed a shi'r. And Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Waliullah Dahlawi, in his book Bustan al-Muhaddithin, he mentioned it. So Imam Bukhari never compiled a shi'r like this. When? Arabic poetry. No. He never compiled except a shi'r that is inside a hadith, like that of Aisha, that he mentioned in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that فَتُبْدِي لَكَ الْأَيَّامِ. Even when people say that's not even shi'r, there's a lengthy discussion in Fath al-Bari on that. Is it a shi'r or not? Is it just that he was talking and it appeared like a shi'r, or it's actually a shi'r? That because Allah had said that وَمَا أَلَّمْنَاهُ شِعْرًا وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. We have not taught you, Muhammad, shi'r, poem. وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. And it is not due for you. It's not in your right to start singing poems. It says, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ. So, there is a lot of discussion on that. The fact remains, Imam al-Bukhari never started composing a shi'r except a shi'r that's in the hadith. The only time he composed a shi'r that is not a shi'r from hadith is when Imam al-Darimi died. And that day he cried. And as the tears rolled down his cheeks, he was compiling the share. He died 100 days after Imam Darmi. Imam Bukhari died 100 days from the sadness of the death of Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman Darmi. It was said that they were usually together and they made a lot of benefits together. So when he lost his friend, Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman, he felt it. 100 days later he died, al-Imam al-Bukhari, as it is reported from him. So Imam al-Darmi is from the learned people in this ummah. He has a book of tafsir too that he compiled, and this hadith is brought from his musnad. And Imam al-Nawawi said radiyallahu anhuma, he used radiyallahu anhuma for Ahmad bin Hanbal and Ad-Darimi, and they are not companions. Radiyallahu anhuma is also permissible to be used for people that are not companions, but it is commonly used with the companions, but it could be used for other than the companions. And Imam al-Nawawi discussed this extensively in his book Kitab al-Abkar. If you want to find some more explanations on that, you can find it, but that's the summary of it. The isnad in Hassanin, and that they have reported it with an isnad that is what Hassan. Aside them, some other scholars have also verified the hadith to be Hassan, like Sheikh Samir al-Zuhairi, Ibn Amin al-Zuhairi in his Tahqiq of Al-Arba'un. I'm sure some of us have that nuskha, the nuskha of Sheikh Samir al-Zuhairi. That's your nuskha. Yes. He says this hadith is Hassanun li-ghayrihi. And others too, like Sheikh Salim al-Hilali, in his book Iqaz al-Himam, which is a summary of the book Jami al-Ulum wal-Hikam, he says the hadith is sahih. I mean Sheikh Salim ibn Eid al-Hilali. I'm saying this because some scholars say this hadith is weak. So we are just trying to say that no, the hadith is authentic. At least Hassan. So inshallah, this is where we stop today. We hope, we pray Almighty Allah to make us understand this hadith better than it is said. As for me, what I really, really want us to look at in this hadith is the aspect of husnul khulq, character. Very, very important. We ask Allah, like the Prophet asked him, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, Allahumma hassin khulqi kama ahsanta khalqi. This hadith is graded authentic. It's in Sahih Jami al-Sahih. That the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to pray that, oh Allah, beautify my character as you have beautified my features. As you have beautified my, you know, he says, وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ سُوَّرَكُمْ. So as you have beautified my surah, beautify my character too. We ask Allah to beautify our character, to make us from the best of humans as far as character is concerned. أَقُولُ مَا أَقُولُ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. If there is, or there are one, two questions, inshallah. Alaykum as-salam. Alaykum as-salam.
Now,
How does a person do what?
Classify
his own iman.
His own iman. To check himself. That is he really on the right path or...
How does one make like a muraqabah of himself, self-assessment?
With this hadith that says that you see a clear picture like the thing is saying that you want to commit a sin. You know that this thing is sin. In your mind, you are not comfortable. But you went ahead and commit that thing, ignorantly, not avoiding people. So now, seeing someone doing this particular act, and the other person that saw that thing openly, not minding whoever she is.
The two of them are not in the same level. The one who is ashamed, even when he commits a sin, is better than the one who does not care about the sin. The one who cares commits it in the open. That one who is ashamed should now be careful so that it does not become like the second one, who will commit the sin without care. But they are not the same at all. That shyness in him that is shy about, he's shy about Allah and about people. So, how can so and so be found to have done so and so? It's not in the same level with the one who does saying, yeah, I don't care. I'm a big guy. You know what they say. So even when he's a small guy, thinking that he's a big guy. So they are in different levels. But the one who did it shyly, with shame, should sit down and know that there is belief inviting him to evil, and he should deal with people who will not be encouraging him upon that. You always deal with people, read Quran, make dua, that Allah makes it easy for him to run from that thing he's doing in the hidden, and all of this appropriate precaution. Else, there is nothing other than that we should take precaution. You should pray Allah's forgiveness and make tawbah. Ask people, if it's a big sin, ask people, what can I do that I should be forgiven this sin? People used to go to the companions to say, I cannot do something. Even the Prophet what can I do? So when he tell them, or they told them what they would do. There are many narrations in Al-Adabul Mufrad of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. When people committed a particular thing and they went to the companion to ask what they would do. There was one who asked Ibn Abbas, he proposed to a woman to marry her. The woman refused. Another man proposed to the woman to marry her. The woman accepted. And he killed that woman. The first person killed the woman. It was a gift to Alayha Fakatal to her. So he went to Ibn Abbas firstly to ask Rabbi Allah anhuma, will Allah forgive me? Allah will forgive you. And he says, Ahayyatun ummik, is your mother alive? Say yes. He says, you should go and be nice to your mother. He says, so Abu Ibn Yafar, one of the Tabi'un, went to him quickly and said, why did you say you should go to his mother? He said, because I didn't know any prior by which part his sin could be atoned for, like being nice to your mother. So there is also the case of Abdullah ibn Omar. So you know that person will not be asking that question except that he has regretted what he did. There are cases like that. The one who went to the Najdadiyun. The Najdad, the people, they are one of the sects from amongst the Khawarij. So, they, you know, the Khawarij considered major sins as from Kufr and things like this. So this one, he said, is also in Adab al-Mufrad by Imam al-Bukhari, if I'm not mistaken, hadith 7 or 8, that he committed a sin while he was with them, with those Najdadiyun. And that he is thinking that it's a sin, major sin that he had committed. The Umar asked him, radiallahu anhu, what was the sin? He said, so and so. He didn't say the sin. He said, so and so. It's not reported in Riwayah, but he mentioned the sin to Ibn Umar. Ibn Umar said that is not a major sin. And he counted 8 things for him that are from the major sins. He now said, do you want to enter Al-Jannah? Say yes. You are afraid of fire? Say yes. Okay. I'll tell you to go and start being nice. And talking nicely to your mother, feed her. If you do so, Allah will put you into Al-Jannah. So he now puts a shirt here. He says, Majtanabta al-kaba'ir. As long as you don't go back to the major sins, as long as you avoid major sins, seek repentance, be nice to your mother, and be running away from major sins. So this is the kind of thing we tell to that kind of a person, depending on the sin that he has committed. So he too can go and be asking people who will guide him on how to seek forgiveness and repentance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe we should make your question only one. Alaykum as-salam, Maryam.
There is a
remission
of the
Alayhi salatu wa No. Together with mirror, no, it's weak. Together with mirror. But as a dua, yes, it is authentic. Allahu Alaikum. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. And people should With what did he corroborate it? He corroborated with his own statement. Area 2 had said that. Why in Africa now? It's not correct. You make tahiyya. One of the reasons why you make tahiyya is because the imam is making tahiyya.
Can somebody say, okay, even if you say fast, you must why I know the thing is wrong. I don't follow you.
And it's not a shape. That person.
That's
not anything. You see, the question is a bit complex, and there are a lot of things attached to it. The first thing is that people usually say that scholars are bought over by government. This statement, let's not be saying it again. That scholars are bought over by government. These statements, they are contradictory. It can't be a scholar and he's bought over by government. A scholar fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could have the ilm, but if he is the kind that you can, it may be permissible to say that he's bought over by government, even when we should be avoiding those kind of statements. Do you understand? The reign of scholarship, the garb of scholarship will go off him. Allah will take it off. The garb. There's a garb Allah gives to learned people. It will go off him. So don't say that one scholar, they have been bought by government. Let me give you an example. If you say it's demonstration permissible, to go out and say, we know the have increased price of fuel. To go out and start carrying placard and say, you say, let's go and ask Sheikh Swali Fauzan and Fauzan. Who are those scholars? Those ones that scholar government has bought. This kind of a statement is a statement of evil. Nobody says it except the person in whose heart there is disease. Like the one who will say that honey is bitter. Because this will say that the child princess of faith, the Quran says, the Hadith says, on so and so thing. Don't rebel against your leaders. Because from rebellion is demonstration. It does not have any other name. It's rebellion. You demonstrate after saying, we're not going to. So, if it's like somebody like Abbas, I say, they should roll out the tanks and reduce the population a little bit. So, it has caused more problem. It is for this reason that the Sharia says it is wrong. Because it will not solve the problem. Riots have solved the problem anywhere and demonstration. It usually causes more problems. Even the so-called council, you say we are not going to work, we down market and whatever, pain. If they increase the salary, Muslims, they will not pay them for months. They will still suffer. When they pay them, they will not be able to continue. And the Prophet has told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, to be patient with oppressive regimes.
The scholar too is there, or the scholar too is told to be patient with oppressive regimes. So if you think that there's a regime in Saudi Arabia where Sheikh Khalifa Fawzan is living, and he's saying that don't demonstrate, he's also following that hadith that the Prophet has said that you should be patient with an oppressive regime. Even if the leader is lashing your back, the Prophet said so, he's lashing your back and taking your property. He said, be patient with him. He said, hatta talqani fil hawd, until you meet me at hawd. Meaning, if you even die for that, being patient over oppression of the leader. But people think that when they know, be patient over oppression, the government has bought scholars. So you see that there's risk in that statement. So, first of all, let's bury that thing. Let's not be saying it again. That there are some scholars coming to God. Forget it. If he's a scholar, he's a scholar. That's one. Secondly, is that most times the scholar will give you their dalil for saying something. Most times. But the problem, and that's why you can't remain at the bottom of the level, of the ladder, and you say every day that it is fatawa you'll be waiting. You know, go and learn to be able to know the essence of fatawa and the weight of the fatwa. This alim gives the fatwa, this the other alim gives the fatwa. You will not be able to know if they are contradictory. You will not be able to know how to know which one of them is good, which one of them is right. Because the two can't be right at the same time. Yes, the Shafi'iyah believes that if you make wudu and touch a woman, your wudu is dictated. You do touch the woman because they say, how lamb has too many stuff. Lamb is to touch. So once you touch your wife like this, your wudu is spoiled. But the rest say, no. Lamb has too many stuff is practiced by the hadith of the Prophet. Aisha said, Raja Lam had the Prophet used to kiss us and romance us, handle us, then you say, Salah. It means lamb has too many stuff does not mean touch. Because she said that he will know the teachings will do. So how do you know which of the fatwa is right? Yeah, so why does it say touch now? There is hadith that say, So that's why you've been learning too, so that if you have fatawas and a matter, you'll be able to say, at least this one appears more. That's your mind that is guiding you to say something is wrong. It is still the one that will guide you to say, it appears that this fatwa is stronger than this one. But you will not do that if you are not learning. We'll be learning, so that we'll be coming up the ladder too, and be able to recognize truth and battle and battle. 2 days ago, we were sitting together, and I was saying that they don't say that something is wrong. What they are saying is, go Hatu Burhanakum, Hatu Burhanakum. I was thinking in my mind, is it every person who is Hatu Burhanakum, are you showing Burhan, you recognize Burhan? You understand what I'm saying? So you bring evidence. You give him evidence. He does not know that there is evidence there. This every person who should bring evidence, that if you give him evidence, he will know that it is evidence. So when they say how to burhanakum, it is those who are capable of taking a burhan that it is talking to. They are the ones who say how to burhan. The one who is not qualified can't say somebody to how to burhan. Because if they show him burhan, he will know it. He won't know it. If they say that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hilak qabla salat yawm al-jum'ah, he won't believe, he won't know the meaning that is prohibiting pre-sermon. He will still be asking you how to burhanakum. He has not known that there is burhan in that one already. You will be asking for burhan to say people should be gathering to eat akikol is the sunnah, like because there is one kisra in Adab al-Mufra that is Sahih Maktu. You will not know that there is burhan that Maktu does not mean. Because he cannot recognize burhan, even if he's wearing turban, wearing white galabia. He can't recognize burhan. So, learning can't stop in the life of the Muslim. That's why he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, talabul ilm fariidatun ala kulli muslimin. Obligatory must be learning every day. That is when gradually you'll be recognizing those fatawas. As you see the evidence, you'll be filling it up, you'll be able to say, oh, this one appears stronger, this one appears stronger, this one appears stronger. Then you'll be able to know what to do in circumstances. It will not just be a situation of what your mind tells you, it will be a situation of evidence on the ground. And then you'll be able to say, no, this one is right, this one is wrong. So people who will be telling you that you are wrong, you'll be able to say, no, this one is right, this one is wrong, for so reason.
you'll be able to now defend your position based on knowledge, not just now what is in your mind, where you can't find a mufti, or where you have started now but you are still doubting. Knowledge will be removing those doubts from your heart, and you know that you're upon haq and sabat, inshallah. We'll stop here. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.